I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Since taking the gavel in January, the Committee on Oversight and Accountability has accelerated its investigation of the Biden family's domestic and international business practices that we began last Congress. I want to be clear. This committee is investigating President Biden and his family's shady business deals that capitalize on Joe Biden's public office and risked our country's national security. This committee has a duty to ask questions and pursue the facts, no matter where they take us.
That is an extremely important statement from Kentucky Congressman James Comer. And he is talking about, of course, obviously, the investigation that the House Oversight Committee is doing. He is overseeing that in the House. Senator Grassley and Johnson overseeing in the Senate. And, of course, Congressman Jim Jordan is doing the same in the House and his Judiciary Committee. But Comer is leading it for right now. He's the one who's been, along with Senator Johnson, issuing a subpoena for various pieces of information from the FBI, because there was one FBI informant that said there was an FBI form, FD-1023. And in that form, someone is saying they know that Joe Biden took money in exchange for a deal of some type with a foreign national. Now, this is where everyone wants to see if this is going to go direct to the current president. Again, Kentucky Congressman James Comer on what they've achieved in just recent days and where he says everything points.
New information investigators have uncovered regarding the transfer of money from foreign entities to the Biden family. Many of the wire payments occurred while Joe Biden was vice president and leading the United States efforts in these countries. First instance, while Vice President Biden was lecturing Romania on anti-corruption policies, in reality, he was a walking billboard for his son and family to collect money. Hunter Biden and his associates capitalized on a lucrative financial relationship with a Romanian national who was under investigation for and later convicted of corruption in Romania. The Bidens received over $1 million for the deal. And 16 of the 17 payments to their associates' account that funneled the Bidens' money occurred while Joe Biden was vice president.
While Joe Biden was vice president. That's pretty damning. It is not conclusive. It is not something that's been presented as a full piece of evidence in court. But Comer says, we're not going to play the games with you that we saw Adam Schiff do. He didn't call him Schiff. Let me do that. When they were running the Trump investigation. And they'd all come out of their hearing and say, we can't talk about details, but we tell you it's going to get really bad for Trump. Comer is shying away from trying to pump it like that. He wants to be as transparent as he can with the American people at this point. But he's not going overboard. And I think we should appreciate that. He's giving you the best details he has at this time. And, of course, when he says what they've accomplished in these recent months, it still gets down to what Joe Biden has repeatedly said versus bank records.
The president, when confronted with this information, said it wasn't true. Instead of being honest with the American people, President Biden has claimed since the 2020 election that his family has not received money from China. That was a lie in 2020, and he continues to lie to the American people now. The Bidens have received millions of dollars from China. It is inconceivable that the president did not know it.
inconceivable. And again, it started when he was vice president. And he would take these trips, and son Hunter Biden would go with him on Air Force Two. Didn't know anything about what he was doing. Thought he was just along for the ride. Maybe trying some sushi we had on board the plane. And we land, and I go my way, and he goes this way. Don't know nothing. That does not even begin to pass the smell test, does it? We're right back, friends, to if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. That's where we are. And yet, those that don't listen to full news reports, not just from Larry Connors USA, but other sources, and listening only to the state-controlled media, you know what they're getting fed constantly today? Donald Trump convicted of assault in a civil case where a woman claimed he raped her. That could not be proven, plus the statute of limitations. But apparently she presented enough evidence that they were willing to accept that, okay, something happened, we're going to award her $5 million. And they are all over that. Donald Trump has to pay $5 million to this woman that decades ago claims that he assaulted her in a dressing room at a department store. I don't know if it happened the way she said, or if it's all made up, as Trump says. Can you be that honest? Can you accept that? We don't know. It's one-to-one. There is no physical evidence, and it was not strong enough for the jury to go ahead and charge him with rape. That didn't happen, so it moved to a civil case where she sued him for $5 million on sexual assault charges. She won. She's happy. And if she were assaulted and so forth, I'm for her getting whatever she can. Believe me. But what I'm trying to show you is the difference between state-controlled media and what they're basically shouting from the rooftop compared to the story that is right in front of them, at the tip of their nose, right in front of their eyes, and they look away. Where's Trump? Where's Trump? We got to find something on Trump. Senator Johnson, Wisconsin, as I said, is heading up some of the same inquiry that Comer is in the House. Senator Johnson is overseeing it inside the Senate. And he said, we're being told by many, you don't really have any evidence, right? He says, to the contrary.
We were falsely accused of soliciting and disseminating Russian disinformation. Sound familiar? That's how the media basically dismissed our report in September 2020 that completely laid out the vast web of foreign financial entanglements. Now, Chairman Comer has, you know, added to that evidence. Understand, these investigations are not easy. People that commit criminal acts try not to leave a paper trail. So it's very difficult to piece this all together, particularly when you have the leftists, the progressives in the mainstream media doing everything they can to undermine your investigation and falsely accuse you of disseminating Russian disinformation as they falsely accuse the laptop of being Russian disinformation as well.
Yeah, they did. Remember, the FBI put that word out even before any of the mainstream state-controlled media could start reporting on it. So only the New York Post was carrying it, and Fox News and conservative outlets such as this. Just simply reporting that they have it, and here's what they're reporting on it. Did I see the laptop? No. Did I know if the evidence is correct? No. But there was enough presented in Miranda Devine's columns and information, I'd say there's got to be a lot there. And 18 months after the election, the New York Times comes out and says, that laptop story that we said was a fraud by our New York Post competitors, it's real. But the timing, it happened after the election. And as I've said over and over again, if you've heard it and you're tired of it, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop saying it. You can count and can be concerned about Dominion voting machines and how the votes were counted, how they were brought in trash bags at the last minute, all day long. But I'm telling you, before the first vote was cast in the Biden-Trump election, the FBI had already rigged the election by withholding information that might have swayed the election. How do I know it might have swayed it? Because they feared it would. They did not want it to get out. That's why they immediately said, It's Russian propaganda. Do not touch it. It's kryptonite. It was kryptonite to Joe Biden, and it might well have cost him the election. But the left is very good at their propaganda spin machine, and they just keep it spinning and spinning. Now, I'm not going to ignore the charges against Trump. I told you they're harping on it. We will get to it before the end of this hour. But I want you to keep in mind what's really happening here. You've got a clear, obvious evidence, bank records that show money going to various members of the Biden family. And that raises a question from Senator Johnson, as it does from others. What the hell were they doing that they got paid so much money?
On the bank records, you're not going to see bribe to change this policy. You have to infer what's happening here. You have to take a look at the bulk of the evidence. You have to follow the money and realize, well, so what did this Biden family member do to earn that amount of money? I mean, that's what we did with Hunter Biden in Ukraine. I mean, what did he know about oil and gas to be on the board of Burisma and knock down about $4 million over the course of a number of years when his father was the point person in Ukraine? That corrupt system. So again, you have to infer these things. You're not going to get necessarily hard proof, but there's such a huge body of evidence. We had it in September 2020. It was all ignored. It was all denigrated. It was all called Russian disinformation. It's the same playbook of the Democrats. It's the same playbook of the media that wants to prop up and cover up for the Bidens.
So here we are, May 10, 2023. More to come, live streaming, of course, on Rumble during our noon hour. Rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, our News Talk STL. Tucker Carlson making an announcement, apparently setting his path forward. We've got that coming forward. Plus a church that says Jesus, God is trans. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from me. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. You often hear people say the news is full of lies, but most of the time that's not exactly right. Much of what you see on television or read the New York Times is in fact true in the literal sense. It could pass one of the media's own fact checks. Lawyers would be willing to sign off on it. In fact, they may have. But that doesn't make it true. It's not true. At the most basic level, the news you consume is a lie of the stealthiest and most insidious kind. Facts have been withheld on purpose, along with proportion and perspective. You are being manipulated.
Those are the words of Tucker Carlson and a new tweet he put out. And it gives us an indication of something else is getting ready to come. I'll finish this off for you in a moment. But let's just focus on what he's talking about the news content you are presented, even when it's from a, quote, reliable source. If they leave certain facts out, you're not getting the complete story. Now, understand, I've been in the business 40-plus years as a news anchor, basically the chief editor. The last thing I, before it goes on the air, goes through my mouth, my eyes, or a co-anchor. And I can see if something is missing or needs to be put in. But I will tell you this. You could spend 4 to 7, 8, 12 minutes on one story to cover every possible angle, and you can't do that. You've got to narrow it down. Then you need to make sure what you take out does not change the context of the story. That's what Tucker's leading up to, because if on purpose you're leaving it out to change the context, you've achieved your goal. Carlson again.
You are being manipulated. How does that work? Let's see. If I tell you that a man has been unjustly arrested for armed robbery, that is not, strictly speaking, a lie. He may have been framed. At this point, there's been no trial, so no one can really say. But if I don't mention the fact that the same man has been arrested for the same crime 6 times before, am I really informing you? No, I'm not. I'm misleading you. And that's what the news media are doing in every story that matters, every day of the week, every week of the year.
Every day of the week, every week of the year. If they keep out something that would give you a different perspective. Now, again, if, to use his example, if they're doing a story on a man being charged with a crime, that's factual. If they don't tell you he's been charged with the same crime 5 more times, if they leave it out because they don't know it, or did they leave it out because they thought it might taint your view of the man? That's critical information. Now, could that be introduced at the trial? That would be for the judge to decide when the case comes up. But the general public, there's no reason you should not be told that. Again, if he's just charged, it does not mean he did any of the things he's charged with. But there's a pattern that you can't ignore. All of this also ties to where we are right now with the Hunter Biden investigation, all the allegations against Donald Trump. And it's imperative from my viewpoint, and what I try to do for you on a constant basis, is give you a full understanding of both sides. If I fail, I truly am sorry. It's not my intent. I'm trying to give you a good, balanced view. And sometimes I may not have all the information. And again, remember, it's not my information. I'm basically having to rely on what I've gotten from other sources. I have to be careful about the sources I choose. And especially now with the chat capabilities, the artificial intelligence, there can be something coming across mimicking Carlson's voice or Biden's voice. And unless I can verify it through another way, I don't know if it's accurate. Used to have in a contract that I had with a TV station. On one hand, I hated this, but it stated that if I say anything on the air that is libelous, slanderous, and without my knowledge that it is so, then I am free of guilt. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card, and I'm free. And on one hand, it's needed. But on the other hand, I'm thinking I should be smart enough to catch it, but what if I don't? And whatever reporter fed me wrong information intentionally for me to give the false story. So what Carlson is talking about explains all the time. Let's continue his examination of what happens behind the curtain.
What's it like to work in a system like that? After more than 30 years in the middle of it, we could tell you stories. The best you can hope for in the news business at this point is the freedom to tell the fullest truth that you can. But there are always limits. And you know that if you bump up against those limits often enough, you will be fired for it. That's not a guess. It's guaranteed. Every person who works in English language media understands that. The rule of what you can't say defines everything. It's filthy, really, and it's utterly corrupting. You can't have a free society if people aren't allowed to say what they think is true. Speech is the fundamental prerequisite for democracy. That's why it's enshrined in the first of our constitutional amendments.
The remarks you heard and what you're going to hear as we wrap up this segment runs about, I think the total time is going to be close to 2 30 tops. And in that time, when it was first released, by the first reports on it, in fewer than 20 minutes, it had more than 700,000 views, more than viewers than CNN has. But again, to Carlson and where this is going.
Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter, where we are now. Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing. And yet, for the most part, the news that you see analyzed on Twitter comes from media organizations that are themselves thinly disguised propaganda outlets. You see it on cable news. You talk about it on Twitter. The result may feel like a debate, but actually the gatekeepers are still in charge. We think that's a bad system. We know exactly how it works, and we're sick of it. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We bring some other things, too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon.
What a great deal. So he's going to be doing it on Twitter. But his lawyers still have to fight to get him out from under his contract, because it exists through January 25, past the elections. We'll see how that breaks out. And by the way, one person writing on it, one media source said, you know, right now, firing Tucker looks like as wise as killing John Wick's dog. Coming up, controversy inside the church. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions. Lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest has a subject in front of him that is, I've got to tell you, when I first saw this the other day, I thought, God is going to turn his back on us. He will not hear our prayers, just as he did not at times in the Old Testament, telling Jeremiah and others, tell those people, do not pray for me. They did not answer me and hear me when I talked to them, so I'm not going to listen to them now. And that scares me immensely, and it should you. We're talking about the fact that a progressive Manhattan church is basically pushing transgenderism. One exhibit at the Church of St. Paul the Apostle, which is appalling that they would do it at the St. Paul the Apostle, titled, God is Trans, A Queer Spiritual Journey. Joining us to get into more details on that, Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, devoted to defending parental rights and family values. Terry, what was your reaction when you heard that very statement?
Well, thanks so much for having me, Larry. I always love coming on. You know, nothing really shocks me anymore. This church, St. Paul the Apostle in New York, has had a long track record of doing things that are, I mean, not just, you know, not within the bounds of the Catholic Church, but frankly, anti-Catholic, anti-Christian. The idea that they would hold an art exhibit with the theme that God is trans is just so appalling on so many levels. I mean, we have in Scripture, through the words of Jesus Christ, him instructing us to call him Father, right? It's obvious that God is masculine, that he's not trans, he's not androgynous, not male, he's not human, right? But Jesus was a male, Jesus was a man.
Right.
It's more and more insanity from the left. They're obsessed with destroying religion, and they have anti-Catholic allies as priests. They have anti-Catholic allies that want to destroy the church as cardinals, as bishops, right? And this is what they want to do. They know that if they destroy the church, if they destroy Christianity, everything else is going to be much easier to destroy.
Now, let's keep in mind, St. Paul the Apostle, again, was a Christian apostle, was spreading the teachings of Jesus in the first century, and considered one of the most important figures of the apostolic age. And they were these men who were going out and making these statements that he has risen. Why would you lie and say he has risen and put your life at risk if you didn't really believe it, much less continue to do it in the face of aversion and everything else? But I have heard many times in the past, oh, Jesus must have been homosexual. He had all these men around him.
No, it's very funny, Larry. That's more of a reflection on America and how indoctrinated we have become through the sexual revolution. We can't imagine that some people in their lives remained virgins, right? And history is full of people that dedicated their lives, including their sexual lives, to the Lord and died and remained virgins until death. Joan of Arc, right, was a virgin until she died. The Blessed Mother was a virgin. But you're exactly right. It was the blood of the martyrs, including St. Paul, that led to Christianity's explosion. And that really is what, I just got back from Rome. I spoke at CPAC Hungary. And before that, I went to Rome and I went to St. Peter's Square. And I found out something very interesting. St. Peter's Square is actually where St. Peter, who Catholics have as our first pope, it's where he was martyred. And you go back to the saying that Christ said. He said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And they literally built the Vatican on his bones, like where he was martyred. It's absolutely a beautiful story, but they want to tear all that down, right? This is an anti-Christian movement. They know that if they can erase religion and Christianity, they can erase everything, all of our institutions.
Now, do you think it's aimed just at the Catholic Church or religion in general?
I think it's at Christianity, right? I think that these people, there's a couple things, right? Like, the Catholic Church is one of the largest and most powerful and influential institutions in the world, right? It has a 2,000-year history. It's been around.
And I will make a point here. It has not always been a good history, nor for the Christian Crusades, but go ahead.
Well, that's right. And there were popes that had illegitimate children. There were corrupt popes. But the teachings of the church have remained strong. And, Christ said, not even the gates of hell will prevail against my church. And so institutionally, the non-Catholic Christians, they don't have anything that's as enormous or centralized authority as the Catholic Church does. So institutionally, the progressives want to destroy the Catholic Church. It's much tougher to wipe out, all of the different sects of Protestantism and evangelism.
All right, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I had an email from someone the other day that I don't recall exactly what I said that sparked the man's reaction, but he said, "Larry, you need to quit just being told by Catholics what the Bible is. You need to get your own Bible and read it." And I said, "Well, I do, but I do know there was a time, and I knew Catholics, that they were not really reading Bible. They were just being given a liturgy at Mass each time. So they didn't even own a Bible." So
can I speak to that real quick?
Yeah,
that's
please
a very
do
interesting
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we didn't have a Bible that was canonized and actually accepted until around the 4th century. And then on top of that, we didn't have the printing press until I think 1436, the year 1436. Right. And, you know, so the idea that God would wait, you know, 1400 years, in order for people to be able to attain salvation after his son died and was crucified on the cross, it's just nonsense, right? The church was always there before the scriptures were. His point was
that Catholics generally have been told, you don't need to read the Bible, we'll read it to you. Now, I know that's changed. I know that's changed because I know many that have their own view. But I hear and see in all the sense of this is, while obviously Christianity, all the religions have evolved to some extent, it's still for Christianity a single man, Jesus Christ, the only man who walked the earth free of sin and died for our sins so we could actually approach God. And no man has seen God. We just have heard sounds, noises, Moses. No one actually had direct sight of him.
No, that's exactly right. And until God became man, fully God and fully man, through a miraculous act of grace, in his son Jesus, no man had ever experienced that. And the beautiful thing about scripture, and we're talking about this, right? Because this is at the church of St. Paul the Apostle, the guy that wrote a large amount of the New Testament. But we've got to experience a little bit of Christ through scripture, not the full thing, but, it's what God has wanted us to learn, about him and from his teachings. I will say that one thing that I really value about, the Catholic Church when it comes to scripture is that we do value it and our whole religion is based off of it. But it is helpful to have a central authority that doesn't allow for all these fake Christian interpretations, right? I was listening to the radio last weekend and it was a black pastor and he was using the Bible to push liberation theology and critical race theory and transgenderism and queerness. And he was basically trying to, like, when you allow for every single person to interpret scripture how they see fit or how their soul is interpreting it, you have really bad iterations of Christianity. I would say some forms of Christianity are actually anti-Christian.
And that's basically what they're doing at St. Paul the Apostle in Manhattan. God is trans, a queer spiritual journey. Talking about we need to shed an old life and identity. We need to ask the question, what does holiness look like? At the same time, they're pushing gender reassignment surgeries, sexualization of children's libraries and schools, late-term abortion, on and on and on. And, of course, don't forget Christianity and Christians, for the most part, we have an Old Testament as well, the Jewish religion, very founding fact, a base of Christianity.
No, that's exactly right. I have a lot of Jewish friends. I have a lot of non-Catholic friends as well, and I love them all. And I joke with my Jewish friends that they only have half of the Bible, and it's better than nothing. It's an important fight, and I think the real threat here is that if the Catholic Church, so a few years ago, Pope Francis started entertaining the idea of decentralizing the church's authority, and basically allowing local churches to come up with their own policies regarding communion and the sacraments when it comes to some of these non-traditional arrangements like transgenderism, gay marriages, and all that. And this is exactly why that's a problem, because you will have Catholic churches that aren't Catholic anymore. They'll claim to be Catholic, but they are not Catholic in their teaching. And so I hope that the Vatican cracks down on this church very strongly and boldly, because they need to send a message that this will not be tolerated. Otherwise, you might as well just adopt it for the whole church, because it'll continue to spread and confuse people.
But of course, again, the same divisions occur with inside, quote, the Christian community. I can think of four or five Texas cities that have a First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist church, and then a Presbyterian UC and a Presbyterian something else. I mean, I remember one pastor saying it's all the same gift inside the box. It's just wrapped differently, and it might appeal to this person, but that box isn't what they want. They want the other one, but the gift should be the same.
No, that's exactly right. And you know, if you really are in a state of grace, and you're open to the Lord's instructions and you're reading the Bible and you're talking to your fellow parishioners. I have a Bible study and that I go to about once a week, and half of them are non-Catholic and the other half are Catholic. And it's funny how much consensus there actually is when you just get together and you read it all and you hold each other to account, you ask tough questions. You can really find the truth through deliberation. And in fact, that's how the church has always come to its teachings, is through intense arguments and debates and deliberations. And that's how they've come up with this. And we've trusted that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all this. And that was, you know, that was the promise that Christ gave Peter when he told him that not even the gates of hell would prevail. And I think we just need to keep that tradition strong and hold these corrupt churches accountable and weed out the snakes, you know, pull St. Patrick and get the snakes out of the church.
Yeah, and to that extent, I know many Muslims, and having conversations with them, Allah to them is God. And I would have a difference as salvation, but we don't have to fight and battle. We should look for common grounds. Thank you very much, Terry Schilling, president of American Principles Project. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Coming up, we will discuss Trump and the charges against him. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have some advice for you. Before you have anyone replace windows in your home, call Renewal by Anderson. Get information. Renewal finds where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. It's easy to connect to Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250, #250, and say windows. That connects you direct to Renewal on the list of the most trusted companies, the nation's best warranty. Dial #250, #250, and say windows.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Like everything else involving Donald Trump, it cuts both ways. I think to the people who support him, they will simply dismiss it as a conspiracy led by the litigation funder or me or you or CNN or Jean Carroll or Jean Carroll's lawyers, another attempt to get Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's pretty much what many are believing. This was just another attempt to get Donald Trump by this allegation from the woman, and she did get a civil settlement, not a settlement, but judgment for $5 million on her claim that Donald Trump decades ago had sexually assaulted her in a dressing room in a Manhattan department store. She had also claimed that he had raped her. That could not be proven enough that the jury would not go along with it, and so they would not do that, but they were willing to go to the next step and say, okay, but obviously there was some assault of some type, and so we will grant basically $5 million. Of course, you were listening to George Conway, American lawyer, activist. He's been against Donald Trump, as you well know, for a long time. He had been involved with the Lincoln Project during the 2020 presidential election, a coalition of former Republicans dedicated to going after Trump. He is an attorney, and of course you probably know that he had also dated at one time Laura Ingraham, then later ended up marrying Kellyanne Conway, who worked with Trump in the White House. It's opposing views. It's not unusual that couples have opposing views on politics, but they were strongly opposing. But what he is saying in this case of the charges that led to the $5 million judgment against Trump is that they're going to use it different ways. Those who can will use it for their benefit to say, yeah, here's something else we use against Trump. And others say, no, it's just more the same old, same old. And to that point, he's absolutely right. But then there's the other issue. And here's where he gets down to what some would say is a nitty-gritty.
How is it possible for any one person to get into this many scrapes and have that many people say the same thing about him, about his dishonesty, about his lying, about his sexual predation? And they don't really ask themselves, like, well, maybe there's something to this. Where there's smoke, there's maybe fire. Because they can't do that. They can't bring themselves to do that. Because if they do that, then they have to admit that they've been essentially endorsing and enabling a monster.
Yeah.
Did you know about Trump or Biden? Because the similarity of remarks he made, Biden, remember, had been charged with rape and sexually molesting a woman. Remember that? And constantly lying. That's constant on a daily basis even now. And was he talking about Trump or Biden? No, of course he was talking about Trump. Because he's on CNN with Anderson Cottonmouth, and they're not going to do anything that would damage Biden. So it's your viewpoint. The sexual assault charges, which led to a $5 million civil settlement, does that tell you that Trump is a serial sexual assaulter or rapist? It tells you that she convinced a jury enough that she gets $5 million. That's what it really tells you.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Ready for a fine dinner of lobster, crab, fish? Napoli Sea will open June 1 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. So mark your calendar. Napoli Sea opens June 1. If you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door, and it's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and starting June the 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Tomorrow is May 11, and we've been telling you for weeks you need to be aware of May 11. That's when Title 42 is lifted. We know that hundreds of thousands, 700,000 plus, are massed along the border ready to come across. Because Title 42 will be lifted. And the Biden administration is going to enable them. They sent down additional guard patrol units, or rather guard units, but they're not there to apprehend and detain, but to process, be clerks, and move them into our country. Even Biden today said, it's going to be chaotic. Yes, Joe Biden said that. Of course, they've been ignoring it all this time. There have been more than enough opportunities to do something about it, beginning by close the damn border. That's where you start. But their attitude is, whatever the progressives want, we will bend a knee to. We will worship at their altar. They want open borders. And there are Democrats who believe that everyone coming across is going to be going Democrat. I would not count on that. Many of them have lived under a communist rule and dictatorship. They're coming here because they want freedom. But they're also in the midst of them, cartel members, trafficking drugs, children, young women. We also, of course, have to deal with our federal debt. We're not any closer to reaching a budget. McCarthy met with Biden and Schumer, and nothing changed. Nothing moved. Who holds most of our federal debt right now? Five countries. Japan holds $1.1 trillion. China, $859 billion. That's not good. Thank you for listening. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.